This morning I'm preaching in 1 Samuel 1 through 3, three chapters. Now before I go there, something in John 5 and 7 that I want us to see. There was a crippled man in Jerusalem, and he could not walk for 38 years. One day Jesus miraculously healed this man, and Jesus did it on the old covenant Sabbath day. Now, there were unbelieving Jews there, and in false piety, they were seeking to kill Jesus because it was the Sabbath day. But Jesus told them, "The works the Father gave me to do testify about me that the Father has sent me." And Jesus asked, "Why do you seek to kill me? Are you angry because I healed a man on the Sabbath?" And then Jesus made an important statement. "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with right judgment." In other words, judge according to right knowledge, judge with a right heart, and that way you can weigh actions properly. It's a very powerful rule, very powerful. We all encounter situations. We have today, we're doing that now, we just do this. We encounter situation, and what it's like is one life point is followed by another life point, okay? There are chains of events that we must think about. And each link in the chain is an event point. And with so many points to consider, the rule is do not judge any point according to superficial appearances only, but judge each point with right judgment according to an honest assessment of as much information as possible. Now, we get that lesson in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel in the story of how Samuel the prophet came into being. Call it the first three chapters, actually, because I'm going to go into some of that. But the details here show the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him every point of action is weighed. And that insight is actually a verse in our section, 2-3 in our passage, says, "The Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed." He knows every point according to comprehensive knowledge. He weighs all actions rightly. And he wants you, me, his children, us, to seek to reflect this way of his. This particular wisdom way we would have in reflecting him. Be aware of the tendency to misuse knowledge. Beware of the tendency to weigh actions wrongly. Beware of wrong judgments when trying to discern. And you should want your measure to be based on a lot of things, an appearance being only one aspect to consider at each point. Now, gleaning from 1 Samuel 1 through 3, prepare your heart for this sermon. Beware of wrong judgments of people. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you help me to preach and that we would also be helped to learn, to take in, digest, assimilate, and then use what you teach us for your glory practically. I'm asking this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, over 1,000 years before Jesus said, "Do not judge according to your appearance, but judge with right judgment," there was an Israelite man named Elkanah. And Elkanah had two wives. Now, having two wives is a life point. And so Elkanah's polygamy may throw you off, but don't judge Elkanah wrongly. We have lessons going on here this morning. Judge according to right knowledge with a right heart. And that way you can weigh his polygamy action properly. Polygamy was accepted back then. And there were governing commandments about it in the Mosaic Law in Exodus 21:10 and Deuteronomy 21:15-17. So according to the day, Elkanah was a pious Jew, and he just happened to have two wives. One wife was Peninnah, and the other was Hannah. Peninnah had children. Hannah could not have children. Every year, Elkanah would take his family up to Shiloh to sacrifice to the Lord, to the temple up there. And the one wife, Peninnah, did not treat the other one, Hannah, very nicely at all. Peninnah treated Hannah like an enemy. Peninnah taunted Hannah, caused her this kind of emotional turmoil, this pain, this angst all the time. And 1:7 says Peninnah's cruel actions were meant to hurt Hannah because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. And so every year when they would go up to sacrifice to the Lord, Peninnah would point out that the same Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Peninnah was judging Hannah because of Hannah's inability to have children. And in doing so, she was not being discerning. She was making selfish judgments. She was condemning Hannah. She had some right knowledge, but not a right heart. There are lessons here. She did not weigh all things properly and then come out with a proper balance. If she had done so, she would have acknowledged that the Lord showed his blessing on Hannah in other ways. Every time they'd go up to Shiloh, Elkanah would give Hannah a double portion because he loved Hannah. And it says her husband was a better blessing to her than having 10 sons. But Peninnah's cruel words did what they were meant to do. They caused Hannah to cry, weep in deep sadness. And so in sorrow, Hannah went to the temple of the Lord there, and she prayed. And her prayer shows an amazing thing about Hannah's heart. She prayed her desires. This is what God wants us to do, pray our desires. But it was desire governed by love for God in an exemplary way. Hannah was distressed as she asked God to supernaturally enable her to have a son. Now, the unusual part is her vow that she made to the Lord in this prayer. She said, "If you will look on the affliction of your maidservant and be mindful of me and give me a son, then I will give him back to you, Lord, all the days of his life." Wow. So in her pain, she's asking for a son. But she's also saying that if the Lord chose to bless her with a son, she'd give the child back to him, even to be separated from her, to be raised and discipled by these priests over in this temple way off far away for the rest of her life. Now, mean Peninnah was focused on points she thought they gave her these wise insights. But she felt very short in her foolish judgments of the relevant points concerning Hannah. And that principle was on Peninnah too, and it falls on everyone. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him, every single action and every single point is weighed. Listen to me. Are you a judger? Are you a discerner? All judges, all discerners are being judged and discerned by God while they're judging and discerning others too. Do you understand this? Very important. Eli the high priest was there in the temple. So here is this man. He's the high priest. We would think that the high priest would be a good example of making right judgments when trying to discern points. Well, it didn't happen when the priests were judging Jesus. Eli had the same problem. And so there's Hannah. She's praying, and Eli's watching her, and he's watching her mouth. And it says Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving. So she's praying silently. Well, Eli needed to beware of wrong judgments when trying to discern, but Eli recklessly assumed Hannah was drunk. And it was all because of one point which had many possibilities of explanation. You following me? There's many points that we see when they go on with people. But there could be many, many explanations of what's going on. And with Eli, he sees her moving her lips. She's crying. And he didn't ask her what was wrong like proper discernment requires. Proper discernment, see? When you seek to make judgments, ask questions. Ask lots of questions. Investigate. Get as many facts as you can. Be very careful not to judge according to appearance, but to judge with right judgment. Well, Eli is the one who was in the wrong. He said to Hannah, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." He didn't ask her if she was drunk. He didn't ask what was wrong. He should have investigated in care and love instead of thinking he had immediate discernment to rebuke Hannah for something that had nothing to do with her. Throughout my life, you may have experienced something like this too, but throughout my life, I've known people who claim they have the gift of discernment. Now, I'm not saying that some of these people don't, and I do know that there is a gift of discernment, by the way. But I have uncomfortable memories attached with some of these people. And like Eli's error, I remember unfortunate things they thought and they said and they did in respect to others because what they claimed was discernment was actually doing what Jesus said not to do. And they judged according to appearance of certain points, and their judgment was wrong. And the thing about those kinds of mistakes is they don't go away. They're slanderous. They're hurting, they're destructive, and they're unnecessary. And worse, it can be assertions of the exact opposite of what's going on. I've seen the chaos and the hurt from this over and over and over again. I mean, so many times. But I've also seen people who happen to be right about a determination, but they lacked the love and the grace and the compassion of Christ in the response. We need that love and grace and compassion in everything. But their response was not in alignment with the real Holy Spirit. We want our discernment and our responses to be in alignment with the real Holy Spirit. And so for a lot of these people, discernment is like a name they put on the door for them to justify their own problem of condemnation. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, Hannah lived with this unmet desire to have a child, and she lived with Peninnah's sarcastic contempt. And now Hannah's beautifully pouring out her heart to the Lord. She's asking for a son that amazingly she's going to give back to God. This was the furthest thing from Eli's demeaning accusation of drunkenness. So Hannah explained to Eli, I don't drink. And she said, don't consider me to be a worthless woman. She recognized that Eli's judgment accusation meant she was worthless. Now this lesson is for all of us. Our bad discernments can devalue people. And you can cause others to question and to despise that person too. But Hannah told Eli the truth. She's hurting inside. She's pouring out her heart to the Lord. It's an amazing prayer too. But let's also be careful how we judge Eli, the priest, on just one point. Now remember, the chain links of life have different points. Now Eli was wrong on that point. And like all of us, we're wrong on some point, but we're also wrong on many points, and our life has many points that we mess up and make mistakes. But Eli then spoke a blessing on Hannah on the next point. And so he wished God would grant Hannah's petition for a child. And Hannah did not judge Eli on the point of assuming that she was drunk. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. Now, when the whole family traveled back home, Elkanah had relations with Hannah, and it says the Lord caused Hannah to conceive. And she had a son. And she named him Samuel, which means God has heard. It's because she asked for him from the Lord. Peninnah, in her contempt, her lack of grace and love, had completely missed Hannah's relevant relationship, which is what? With God. And a lot of so-called discernment that gets bounced around misses what is truly relevant. And it focuses on a few life points, but it leaves out vital ones. It's condemning. No grace. And one that's left out is grace. A grace awareness. A grace in Christ awareness. Very important. Often left out. A grace in Christ awareness in respect to the human failure that we all manifest. And you see it with Christians who expect other Christians to be perfect while ignoring their own imperfections. And so this will happen to you too if you look at other Christians and you focus on a few points that you want to consider. You are in a very real danger of making those select points become your ticket, and then that ticket becomes a ticket to despise that person. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with right judgment to build up, to heal, and to not tear down. Well, after Samuel was weaned off being nursed, Hannah took him back up to Shiloh, took him up there to the temple. She brought him to Eli. She brought him when he was very, very young. And she told Eli she was the woman who had prayed to the Lord for a son. And she said Samuel was the answer to her prayer. And she said she dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And so she's given him over there. And then she sings a song. And she's saying that she rejoiced in the Lord. And she now speaks boldly against her enemies, which primarily was Peninnah. And she said she rejoices in the Lord's salvation, and she's saying, boast no more, you who are proud. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. And this is a rebuke to those who think they're discerning, even think they can proudly use discernment to arrogantly condemn others. And then she's saying that important truth in 2:3. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. Well, Hannah's saying, the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. Kind of turning the tables on things here. Now, when Hannah went back home, like Samuel stayed and ministered before Eli the high priest, she's there in her home. He's there up in that place. Eli has his own family. She's going back. And Eli has a family with two sons, by the way, and they're priests. Hophni and Phinehas. And our lesson, remember, is to beware of wrong judgments when trying to discern. Well, the sons of Eli were priests, but it says they were worthless men. And worse, it says they did not know the Lord. So here they are, they're priests, ministering in the temple, and they don't know the Lord. And they were so bad, they would steal sacrificial meat from the people to eat, and they would threaten anyone who wouldn't give it to them. And they also fornicated with the women who served at the doorway of the house of the Lord, the temple. And it says that the young men despised the offering of the Lord. Thus, their sin was very great before the Lord. Well, Eli was getting old, and he asked his sons what they did. You know, I've heard about you doing such things. I've been hearing about it from the people. It's becoming known gossip. He said the report that the Lord's people are circulating is not good. Well, this is because the Israelite people were making right judgments, and they were basing it on numerous details. Details God knew formed the full picture. And Eli knew enough to explain to his sons that if a man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But it says his sons would not listen to his father. And it also says the Lord desired to put them to death. And this is because anyone who showed contempt for the priesthood got the death penalty according to Deuteronomy 17:12. It's right there in the law. Well, little Samuel was being raised in that environment. And his mother had left him there to be raised in dedication to the Lord. But Eli, the high priest, though warning his son, left his sons to do those deeds of wickedness in their dedication to sin. And in the meantime, it says Samuel was growing in stature and favor with the Lord and with men. And so every year, Hannah would make this little robe for Samuel. And she would bring it to him from year to year. And she would come up with her husband. They would visit Shiloh. They'd do the sacrifices, and she would keep giving him another robe that she would make as he was growing up. It's an amazing thing. Eli, the priest, he blessed Hannah and her husband, wishing that the Lord would give them other children in place of Samuel. Remember, there's points in everybody's lives. Hannah had three more sons. She had two daughters. And so this shows us that when it came to Eli raising his own children and protecting the priesthood and temple system, Eli did not do it. And he was not as faithful to his family as Elkanah and Hannah were to theirs. But it's a point in the chain. You see, Eli was also God's high priest according to family calling back to Aaron, the first high priest. Remember, one point in the chain is not the whole chain. That little nugget right there is discernment. That is a huge part of this whole lesson. Again, one point in someone's life chain is not the whole chain. You are not defined by your mistakes. And what we are defined in the great grace covenant of Christ is by Jesus' sacrifice. So we are Christ Jesus' righteousness all the time. Well, so we think about Eli here. Eli's blessing he spoke came about prophetically. See, beware of wrong judgments when trying to discern. Eli's a priest of God. He still has this anointing and this calling of God while he has this office of existence. In the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, you find points of fault with another Christian, don't discount the whole person. It is so easy to do. And that's what the way the world does everything. We have the calling and we do have the grace covenant of Christ Jesus. We have his imputed righteousness in him. Now, yes, we are taught about manifesting righteousness in deeds. And of course, God does not like sin. He does not want us to sin. But God never discounted any Christian. We are forgiven in the sacrifice and resurrection life of his perfect son. This is where we come from when we discern. See, his perfect son lives in us as our perfection and in other Christians. And remember Hannah's song at 2:3. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. All of this is true. But there is more about Eli when it comes to right judgment. We are told a man of God visited Eli with a prophetic message. And he said, thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling? And honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people, Israel. Well, apparently on the chain link point of Eli letting his sons do what they were doing, in God's view, was the same as kicking at his sacrifice and offering. And on that important point, God saw that Eli was honoring his own sons above God. So the word of the Lord to Eli was this, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me all through the future. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. You will see the distress of my dwelling, and in spite of all the good that I do for Israel, and an old man will not be in your house again throughout the future. All the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. Wow. I mean, although the priesthood of the descendants of Aaron was ongoing, because it just didn't die off, individual priests who sinned forfeited their covenant blessing, sinned in this way, see. And Eli would be the last old man in his household because Eli's sons were about to die. According to Deuteronomy 17:12, they were despising the sacrifice. But there would always be a faithful priest from Aaron's descendants. But the man continued, and he was prophesying to Eli, and he said, Hophni and Phinehas will both die on the same day. But God will raise up for himself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in God's heart and in God's soul. That, by the way, has an immediate application to Samuel, but it has a future application to Christ Jesus. And God will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before God's anointed ways. And Jesus, of course, does this in complete perfection. Now, later when the Philistines attacked Israel, the Ark of the Covenant was brought out as a big weapon, the secret weapon against them. The problem was that Hophni and Phinehas were with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And instead of victory, Hophni and Phinehas were killed. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines. First time it had ever been taken. And then that same day, Eli heard the news, and he fell back, and he broke his neck, and he died too. You see, there were consequences for Eli's actions. But here's the thing that I'm trying to get at, and by laying all this out, and the prophetic, and what we see about Eli's blessings, and some of the things, and who he is, and looking at different points, Eli still knew God. And Eli was still high priest. And 4:18 says, Eli was a judge of Israel up till the day he died. See? So before that fateful day that the whole family died, one day, Samuel was lying in the temple where the ark was, little Samuel, and the Lord called Samuel. Samuel ran to Eli. He said, you called me? Here I am. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Samuel went back. The Lord called again. Samuel. So Samuel went to Eli, he thought it was Eli, and he said, you called me? Here I am. But Eli said, nope, I didn't call you. Go lie down. Then the Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel went to Eli, he said, you called me? Here I am. Now, Samuel was not discerning God's voice. And it might seem strange, but there's a reason given for this in the middle of God calling to Samuel at verse 7. It says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. But it says that Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy, the priest Eli. And this is why real discernment is so important. He was having real discernment on this point in his life. And though not perfect, Eli's in tune with God. So Eli told Samuel, go lie down, and if God calls you again, then here's what you should say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then we're told that the Lord came and actually stood there, which is amazing. And the Lord called like before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, according to the words of Eli now, speak, your servant is listening. He's a good student. And the Lord told Samuel that the Lord was about to do something in Israel that will capture the attention of all the people. He said he's going to carry out everything that he had spoken concerning Eli's house. You think about Samuel, he's getting this from God, and it says this was because Eli's sons brought a curse on themselves, and Eli did not restrain them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. God was about to apply Deuteronomy 17:12, and there's no way you can erase it. Well, after Samuel got the word from the Lord, he was afraid to tell Eli what God said. I mean, this is big stuff. This is a huge transition in his life. But the priest, Eli, asked Samuel to tell him what the Lord said. And Samuel told him everything. And then Eli's next words are those that come from, listen to me, a man of God. A man of God is not perfect. You and I, we're not perfect, right? The other Christians we know are not perfect. He's not perfect in every point, but a man of God who knows the Lord, which is the most important point. And Eli told Samuel concerning the voice and the message. He says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And Eli is recognizing this has to do with his own family. But he showed that he was judging according to what? Right judgment. And then we are told Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fail. All Israel knew Samuel was confirmed as the prophet of the Lord. Now for us, for you, for me, the people in Christ Jesus, the main thing to take home in all of this is that we need, Carrie needs to be, you need to be very, very, very careful. Right? We're not blind. We see things. We see people's lives. We'll get information. We'll get exposed to things. And they're links on the whole chain link of life. They're just points. Do not rely completely on what you see. 1 Samuel, it shows that the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him all actions are weighed. It shows that you need to beware of wrong judgments when trying to discern. Do not judge any point according to appearance only. Be comprehensive. Judge each point with right judgment according to an honest assessment of as much information that you can get as possible, because you don't want to just be superficial. Build your knowledge. Build the discernment and the wisdom. Check scripture. Check what you understand. Recheck details. You can be misled by what you see. And also recognize that whenever you see, you're seeing a point. You're not seeing the whole chain. This is all true discernment. This is what God wants us to do. And this gets us to do this. It gets us to bless and build up and gets us not to tear down. Amen? That's the urging. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for these scriptures and the lessons that you have here for us. I want to make right judgments, Father, and I pray this prayer for everyone here, that we would make right judgments, right discernments. I ask, Lord, that what we have learned would open our hearts to be more in tune. Maybe something's going on in our life right now that this applies very keenly to. I ask, Lord, that you would bring that to our mind and out of our hearts, and that we would focus on that and we would use this lesson to help us to proceed forward. We ask these things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.